Well, it's time for another exciting episode of Geek Speak. This is Louis Gerardo, Louis the Computer Guy in the house with Gavin Dahl and Matt McBrayer.
Hello, guys.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How about Gavin? You there, Gavin?
Check one, check two. Gentlemen, I'm so glad we're all connected here on Geek Speak Live.
Yeah, baby. Are you guys getting an echo from me or not?
No, you sound good.
Okay, good. I'll try to not pay attention to the echo.
I think I just fixed that. Are you better now?
Check one, two. No, still echoing a little bit, but I'm used to it. I'm a rock and roll musician.
Yeah,
oh, no, there we go. Now I fixed it.
One, two. Oh, yeah. Good job. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Somebody else was pushing buttons. I don't know who, but we'll find out.
Yes. Well, you know, you can do a CSI tape lift on the buttons. It's pretty geeky. So, I think one of the hot topics that Matt and I were talking about prior to the show was, we've talked about the topic of doxing. Do you know what doxing is, Gav?
Yeah, you know, this just came up over the weekend because a business owner from Carbondale went down to Denver to participate in the protests against the stay-at-home orders, and I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just saying that. So then the question came up in the community, is it okay for people to criticize this business owner or boycott them, et cetera? So I don't think that quite got to the level of doxing, but that was sort of the latest example I'd heard locally.
Okay. So the example, the one that the situation that inspired our discussion had to do with an individual from Carbondale who participated in an anti-social distancing rally in Denver.
Oh yeah, same one.
Okay. So yeah, I was thinking it was the two were starting to sound kind of similar. But my understanding, I was looking at a definition of doxing, and doxing is spreading malicious information about somebody.
Or personal information.
Okay. Got it. So I guess, the question I'd like to compel our listeners to call in, because it's like, I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, If you're stating a factual, if you're stating a fact, and it's a fact that could risk the lives of, basically could be a life or death thing, I mean, where do you draw the line on that? And where do you weigh in on that, Gavin?
Oh well, I think any sort of online harassment is completely unnecessary and counterproductive. I also think that, it's a fine line between free speech and misinformation. And it's something that we really try hard at KD&K to do, is to not, repeat rumor or innuendo or things on the air that are unconfirmed. We had a really unfortunate situation earlier, a few months ago, where somebody called in and reported that a former KD&K DJ had passed away. The DJ on air was very distraught about this and announced it on the air before we had a chance to fact check if this was even true. And it turned out that the person who had made the initial call was mistaken, not pranking or doxing. And sure. So it's just, I think a big part of it, in community media is we want to be a platform for people with a wide range of opinions, but we also want to stick to vetted information as much as possible when it comes to matters of life and death, politics, public health, et cetera. So That's kind of where I get a little concerned, is I think, freedom of the press and free speech are sort of two different things. And I feel like as a grant funded and taxpayer funded and member supported independent media outlet, we need to really be careful of what we say on KD&K. But I also think it's pretty clear if someone calls into the geeks that they want your opinion. So I think where I come down on things and where you guys come down on things don't have to be the same either.
Yeah, I would be, for some reason, I feel a really serious, like a really solid difference between putting something on a Facebook group. And, especially in this case, I mean, this was just relating, this wasn't saying I heard that so-and-so or so-and-so told me that so-and-so saw so-and-so at such-and-such a place. It was basically relating that so-and-so has a video on their Facebook page that, you know, is identifies that they were at this rally. So it's, you know, to me, it's like, I mean, is that doxing? You know, it's, you know, there's a difference between, you know, well, saying, you know, so-and-so has blonde hair and I think that so-and-so likes to wear their hair purple after 11 o'clock on Saturday nights, you know. You know, that's just me. You know?
On the other side of it is somebody, if the individual put the information out there on their, you know, on their own volition, making that choice to put that, you know, put that out into the community and know, and have that go through, you know, distribution through Facebook and other online means, that's kind of a different decision than, you know, taking a piece of information that, you know, may be private and putting it out there. Now, responding to that information is a whole other set of problems.
Yeah, really good point, Matt. I mean, it's a big distinction between somebody who is openly saying to everyone, hey, I have this political view, and I want everyone to know. And then for someone else to say, I don't like that political view, that's not doxing. That's just commenting on something that's already public. I think if I were to say, like, I don't agree with Louis, here's Louis's home address. That's, whoa, come on. That's that to me, that crosses a different line. But again,
yeah, exactly. Well, I want to remind our listeners, if they want to weigh in on this hot topic or any other hot topic or even a cold topic, they can give us a call at 970-963-2976 and let us know what you think. I mean, would you want to know if a person that is kind of like in your daily circuit of life had been hanging out at a anti-distancing rally over the weekend? I would. However, I personally, you know, I take responsibility for my 6-foot space, and I've been wearing a mask for 5 weeks now. I mean, you know, to me, that seemed like a no-brainer.
Both
like
to protect yourself and others, right, Louis? I mean, because you may have it and not know.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, because my ego tells me I don't have it and I can't get it. But on the other hand, I examine just exactly how I would feel if I was to get it and then pass it on to somebody. And especially if they were to become gravely ill, you know, so that's been pretty much my, you know, whenever that voice inside of my head comes up and says, oh, you're just running in really quick, you don't need to put a mask on or whatever, that's the self-talk that I use. You know, it's like, you can't take any kind of a chance of getting somebody else sick. And
it also seems like a lot of people, with now that the masks are more mandatory, a lot of people are negating the distancing part of it. It's like, oh, I have a mask on, I don't have to distance as much. You know, it's not a, oh, I'm going to socially distance or wear a mask. It's, you know, if you're inside somewhere with quite a few people, you need to have a mask on and be 6 feet away from them. They both work in tandem to protect you and other people.
It seems like the biggest outrage about these demonstrations is, at least from what I've read and seen, you know, just locally on Facebook, et cetera, is not so much that people are angry that someone disagrees with them. I mean, if you're going to spend your life being outraged that people disagree with you, good luck. But the idea that we're talking about a society where frontline workers, whether that's obviously doctors and nurses and EMTs, et cetera, but also even just the people at the grocery store or in other essential businesses, that anyone who doesn't have a choice about staying home right now is put at greater risk until we have more information, until we have the possibility of, you know, better testing and hopefully a vaccine, et cetera. So it seems like the biggest image that I saw out of this weekend from the Denver protest was not the local Carbondale businessman walking down the street proud to, you know, object to the rules, but more the image of a nurse standing in a crosswalk while cars were, you know, blocking traffic and running red lights near a hospital. The nurse saying, hey, what about us? I think that image to me was the kind of strongest takeaway from this weekend you know, you can, people can agree to disagree, but to be sort of oblivious to the risks that some people are having to go through to try to help take care of the rest of us. I think that seems like the biggest outrage point. I don't know.
I would completely agree. And, you know, my wife read me a Facebook post from a, you know, a nurse back east, and it was, you know, it was a really well-crafted 3-paragraph, you know, rant about, don't come on my Facebook page, you know, my Facebook friends, if you're one of my Facebook friends and you come on my page spouting this, you know, pablum about herd immunity, it's like, I will defriend you. There will not be any questions, you know, well, it is, you know, anyway,
That's
ahead.
One of those things we don't know yet. We, you know, we haven't been at this long enough to know some of the, to know all the variables to make good informed decisions. So we have to make a few, you know, overstepping things. We have to say we need to do social distancing. We need to wear masks in public generally. And so we have to, as that information comes forward, we need to decide and reassess, you know, make a risk assessment for at the individual level and say, you know, what am I going to do with this information and moving forward with this?
Well, you guys know we've struggled with this at KD&K because we wanted to keep the doors open to all the volunteers, just like we have for 37 years. And finally, on March 30th, possibly later than we should have, we finally made the decision to ask volunteers to stay home. For the listeners at home right now, both Matt and Louie are remote, calling in and connecting in with our live remote broadcast equipment. And I'm the only one in the building from this show. We have a couple other staff that have been in and out today, obviously Paige and Kenneth, those we've heard on the radio today. So, you know, it's painful. We don't want to limit access to the community access radio. We're the only station like this in this valley, but we also are trying to balance public health with our routines. And what do you guys think in terms of people saying, well, you know, as soon as this is over, we can get back to normal? Do you think there will be a normal that will, you know, see and it will feel familiar, or do you think it's going to be a new normal?
Well, the one thing I'm really hoping to see come out of this, if nothing else, is that people who are sick or coughing, think they might have the flu, you know, spend a little more time thinking about, should I self-isolate if I do need to go out and get medication, see the doctor? You know, it's going to be, it hopefully becomes more socially acceptable to wear a medical mask like you see in Asia, so that when you are, when you do think you are infected with some sort of disease, that, you know, you take the steps to protect other people.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a likely new normal.
I agree. Yeah, that's, you know, I think I heard somebody musing yesterday about how one of the things that is becoming really apparent to a lot of people is that people are redefining essential. And, you know, that's, I think, could potentially have one of the biggest impacts on our society, you know, for the long run. You know, for instance, I'll be the first one to say that I probably, you know, as of the old normal, I probably grocery shop five times a week. And because I'm just very impulsive, about 1:30 in the afternoon, I start thinking about, what do I want to eat today? You know, what do I need to go to the store and get, you know? And I'm pretty amazed. I've actually pulled off, for the most part, with very few little exceptions, like, you know, true confessions, I'm going to go get myself a tub of fresh, you know, mixed greens after I get done doing the show today, you know. But I have pretty much made it a week at a time, you know, between grocery shoppings, which I can honestly say has never happened in my life before. And so, you know, I think, you know, that's, people are going to reassess what the new, you know, what essential really is. I think that businesses are going to really, you know, kind of come to grips with, you know, I'm noticing, because I'm not out pumping gas into my car 3 times a week, I'm noticing more money in the bank account at the end of the week, you know, and so, you know, just overall travel expenses are way down. So,
And there's a whole bunch of client, especially particularly on my clients, we've, you know, most of them have decided to take their systems home, take their phones home, and just continue working in their basements, garages, spare rooms, kitchens. So there's a whole bunch of people that, you know, they used to commute to an office to do their job, and now they're doing what Louie and I can do and just commuting to wherever their device is set up and continue working. So.
Yep, and, you know, I was going to say, though, and it's not going to come without a price, or there's going to be some real adjustment because, you know, I know that, you know, if I'm doing 2 to 3 remote calls a day and my wife is puttering around the house and she's having to kind of tiptoe around me, you know, all of a sudden the dynamic of our living space has changed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may work for the long run for some people. It may not work for other people. You know, it's because a place where work is happening is a workplace, and it changes the energy of the building, you know. And so, you know, I would say that, you know, there probably be a number of people that will be like glad to get back to their cubicle you know, when the time comes. So.
Well, you guys want to hear a couple updates from Polis's speech this afternoon? Just a couple quick.
Sure.
Now, this is just according to a reporter on their Twitter account. I didn't get a chance to tune in live. We were broadcasting as yet here, and I was working on other things. But according to Denver Post reporter Saja Hindi, today Polis said there was some good news. He said the daily hospitalization rate is starting to level off. Quote, we've stopped the exponential growth that would have overwhelmed our hospitals. So, I mean, that's incredibly good news if it holds, if it sticks, you know, mm-hmm. if it stays true. Second piece of good news, reports Saja Hindi from Denver Post on Twitter. Polis said the state has received the first application from a county to reopen Eagle County. Polis said he's expecting to be in Eagle County on Thursday or Friday this week and hopeful he'll be joining the Department of Public Health to reopen the county soon. So again, folks, this is just what a reporter from the Denver Post is commenting from Polis's speech. I haven't had a chance to hear it myself, but, you know, at least it seems like the staying at home and the distancing and the masks or face coverings are beginning to have some of their intended effect.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was going to throw out there, I was actually in Denver yesterday. And I was absolutely floored at how many people. So this is kind of going against what Governor Polis said. I was floored. I saw very few masks. We went down to take some stuff down to my daughter who lives down there. And she lives in that kind of new gentrified area down by Coors Field. It's actually quite a nice little area there if you're into apartment living. But we went out for a walk, and we were the exception, not the rule, wearing masks. And I mean, if I don't know how Denver's statistics figure into those numbers, you know, but I mean, if they're doing it, they're doing it despite the fact that people really don't seem to be that concerned down there. Just saying.
Matt, can I ask you, are you still doing IT and other support, kind of your Roaring Fork help desk work in the field very much? Or, like Louie, are you masking up? Are you mostly trying to stay home? Like, how are you handling this as, again, someone who's sort of gig to gig in some ways?
So it depends on the client. A lot of my I call them my core clients, the clients that pay me a monthly service fee, basically. You know, I was able to... I have pretty much everything set up remote anyway, so I can, you know, check network statistics and everything on my phone and do things, whatever I need to do with them. Now, for the clients to just call me and say, hey, I need you to fix my computer, you know, we've been doing different things, but basically I say you need to wipe down your computer, and then even after we, you know, mask up and, you know, hand the card off and do what we have to do. Then I pick up the computer, I take it in with my gloves on, put it on my thing, and on my healing bench, and I clean it, and then I work on it, then I clean it again before I hand it to them. I mean, that's what I have to do to, you know, stay in business and keep moving forward.
Yep.
So it's just taking as many precautions as we can based on the available information.
Well, we have 5 minutes left on Geekspeak today. There's still time if you want to get a technical question answered by the geeks. 963-2976. That's area code 970-963-2976. We can pop you on the microphone. And I thought maybe Modern Marty was going to call in as well. We do, like I said, have 5 minutes left. Did you guys have anything else you were trying to cover before we run out of time?
You know, the one thing Matt and I were talking about that Matt's kind of introduced to me this, the R0 factor, or, you know, the rating. Yeah. Are you familiar with that, Gavin?
No.
Or, you know, so the R0 number is basically the way they classify a disease as to how many people, how many people an infected person will infect. And I think it's just as a public service really important for people to know, because, you know, I know there's like so much emphasis on getting the economy going, starting things back up, you know, getting back to, quote, normal, unquote. But the COVID-19 has an R0 factor of 5.7 with no PPE, with no mask or distancing. And once you go to distancing and masks, it takes it down to 1.6. So that basically means that, you know, a person who has the infection, who's walking around just, you know, crowding other people, not wearing a mask, is probably going to be, is going to infect 5.7 unprotected people. And so, and likewise, it'll take it down to 1.6 if they practice distancing and wearing a mask. So,
and that those studies are available on the cdc.gov if you want to read through the intricacies of them.
Yeah, that's science. It's not that's not art.
Yeah, and there's a great YouTube video that I watched on it. It's about 23 minutes, and they go through different changing the R value, changing how people act, all the people going into like a central location, like a grocery store, and not. And anyway, the YouTube channel is called 3 Blue 1 Brown. That came out 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's a really fascinating watch on how epidemics run their courses.
Thanks. That's a good tip. And, you know, it's just, I think it's so important to keep a critical eye on the content that we are consuming right now, you know, and of course we all have our critiques of mainstream media at different times and different outlets, but also I think, you know, we talked about this on Thursday with the report last week on Booked with the reporter Sandra Fish, who's part of this new Misinformation Watch campaign. And this interview is up on the website, kdnk.org, if you want to check it out. But part of the thing, too, is it's not just a lot of robocalls and spam and fraud and that kind of stuff that's out there. People taking advantage of each other and the sort of politicization and the gaslighting, no matter your party affiliation, et cetera. But the other thing is, I do think people often share information without any ill intent, but without checking it, you know. And I mentioned this to Sandra last week. My grandmother was sent a bunch of tips on how to avoid COVID that were bogus. And so it wasn't that anyone meant any harm by that, but it is also important for us to try to keep a critical eye on what we're consuming and what we're sharing. Hey, Modern Marty just said no good reception today. Great show. You know, maybe next time. So thanks, Marty. We love you, man.
Besides, he had some laundry to do.
Well, folks, the Geeks are back in 2 weeks on the first Monday of May, and we will post the interviews, as always, to the website. You can check all the archives at kdnk.org. Louis Gerardo and Matt McBrayer are definitely two of the biggest geeks I know, but also they care about people. And I've known a lot of geeks who are kind of more interested in their engineering or their, you know, their cat than others. And I just want to applaud your guys' continued dedication to this call-in show and to, you know, helping people, informing people at a time when I would completely understand if you're like, hey, we can't bother with the radio show. So thank you so much for continuing to work on this.
Well, thanks for being there, Gavin, for us. We appreciate it, man. So
thank you guys. Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time, it's been Geek Speak. It's been Katie and Kay. It's been great. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Be safe out there.
Take care.